play a little of something else. See if you can identify this one, Harry. You ready? Harry?
Yep. I'm ready.
All right.
Red sails in the sunset. Well, I think that pretty well tips off what it is.
Red That's
sails
the joke.
In the sunset.
You remember this?
Well, I've heard it on the Late Show. There used to be a TV show in the early 50s called Your Hit Parade.
Yeah.
With Snooki Lanson, and I forget who the girl
was. Rosemary Clooney.
Oh, okay, right. And they would, yeah, that's right. I remember she used to sing, come on to my house, on my house, he come on.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop singing or I'll empty
out.
Oh,
you sing very well. That's another one.
Yeah, right.
This is also The Platters, believe it or not. Anyway, okay, we have a wonderful group of pictures yet to look at, and go ahead where we were. Just pick it right up. I think we just got to the second picture, Charlie.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite pictures that I've ever taken. So this is the upstairs at the Hofbrau House,
mm-hmm.
where the NSDAP plotted their putsch. I think it was in 24 where they tried to take over the government. And
1923, 9th of November.
Yeah. But Harry, you told me anybody going near these buildings would go a little bit insane and their eyes would roll. And
well, only if you look at a swastika, then your brain melts.
I forgot. All
then you need a psychiatrist. That's why we bring Charlie with us, so he bring us back to reality when we go berserk.
Everyone returns home as stable as they were when they left. Although much wiser. All right. Go ahead, Charlie. This is the Hofbrau House. That's very interesting.
Yeah, this is upstairs. And to my knowledge, this is where they actually, the Nazis, the NSDAP, plotted, and then actually this is the command headquarters for the putsch to take over the German government.
You mean the most evil man in history was actually in this room?
Yeah.
Frequently. He made many, many speeches.
Yeah.
Wow.
The room seated about 800 people.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right.
We have lunch. We have lunch downstairs of this on the second floor.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Now here's Charlie sitting on a large turtle. It is a turtle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big rock in the what's the name of that lake, Harry?
That's Übersee.
We all took turns crawling out on the rock and getting our picture taken because it's a famous or infamous person had his picture taken on that rock back in the 20s or 30s.
You mean the most evil man in recorded history was on that rock?
You mean Obama?
Yeah, Attila the Hun.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
The most evil man in history was on that rock. It's
a
famous old photo, so we all crawled out there and took turns having our picture
Great.
Taken.
Great. Good shot.
And the water level was a little bit high that year. Normally, it's landlocked, but everybody was jumping from rock to rock.
Uh-huh.
And I just waded out to my knees. I figure if I try jumping from a rock to a rock, I'll slip and wind up in the drink. Remember that happened when we were at that lake down in Argentina, Charlie? I slipped one flat on my ass. But I'm sorry.
This is a family program, Harry.
Okay.
Good God.
Yeah, but families are up at 10 after 12 at night.
I didn't want to go there. That's all right.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're going to look at a very sleek a boat. Tell us, Charlie.
Yeah. I love this picture. I mean, we're driving around in the van, and Harry's telling us about all the great things we're going to see. And you go around the corner, and here's the whole submarine sitting up on the beach.
How can that be?
Pretty impressive.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And that it's, I got a picture of the insides here, but pretty. I mean,
it's the only one left in the world, the only Type 7.
Yeah.
They built over 800 of them.
I was going to ask how many, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the only one left. And it was given to Norway after the war,
mm-hmm.
and it was renamed the Kaura. And then many years later, one of the U-boats that was in Spain, the Spanish government offered back to the German government for token payment of one peseta or one peseta, whatever. And the German government says, no, hit the trail, get out of here. No, no, no. Well, they scrapped that boat. This one, when she was decommissioned by Norway, they offered it to the German government. Again, the German government says, no way, get out of here, horrible things. But the German U-boat Veterans Association says, hey, we'll take it, and we got the property here. So they brought it over here. It's the only Type 7 left in the world. And the last commander of that boat was my best friend in Germany, Captain Hess, the youngest combat submarine commander.
Wow. You got to say, architecturally speaking, it was a very sleek, handsome boat, very good-looking mm-hmm. boat.
That's what they call the Atlantic bow on it, because it's built to cut the waves quickly.
Oh.
And we went through it, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
how many crew on a boat like that? 40?
In the early days 50? Of the war, about 44 people. Later on, probably closer to 54 people, because they had additional anti-aircraft guns and they needed mm-hmm. gunners.
Did they ever successfully shoot down an attacking craft, do you know?
Oh, sure. You mean this boat or
I know any of them. Were they very successful with the gunning?
Well, lots of times they shot down the attacking aircraft. B-24s, Blenheim bombers, the short Sunderlands, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Next, we're going to take a look at a cross-section drawing of U-995. Type 7, you can see it there.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Oh, well, I put this in so people could see what the guts look like.
Yeah.
Although I don't, my German's kind of bad, so I can't.
Well, you said guts very well. That's a German word, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
all right. Now, let me ask you a question, Charlie.
Okay.
The movie Das Boot.
Right.
We've talked, of course, Harry and I, for years about this. How do you feel about that film in terms of bringing this back to life as well as it could possibly be done? That's what people say.
Well, I saw Das Boot when it first came out, and I'm telling you, I was stunned by the, I mean, you felt you know, I mean, I was hanging onto the chair. I was so freaked mm-hmm. out. And it's an amazing movie. I mean, people should watch it. And I, you know, I think it's pretty well true to history. But the thing I like best about Death Boat is, you know, they didn't have like, you know, freeze-dried food and all that stuff. So they'd go into these ports and they'd just literally cram the boat, the walkways and everything full of food, you know, fresh produce. And then they just eat their way through the boat.
Wow.
And one of the bathrooms too, they had two toilets. One of them was jammed full of sausages.
Huh.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a great movie. I mean, anybody that hasn't seen it should watch it.
It's a gripping film. It's history. It's like living visually on a movie screen, a piece of history.
It's head and shoulders above every other U-boat movie. And incidentally, the skipper of the boat that was around U-96, mm-hmm. the skipper of that boat was a member of Shark Hunters also. In the movie, he got killed, but in real life, he did not.
Wow. Now, the picture you have given us inside 997, was it?
995.
Is that pretty representative of the paint and the color schemes on the inside? Is that how they do it, or was that just done to kind of preserve it? They got the gray, and then you got the beige two-tone as you pass through that.
Pretty much accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're seeing there, if I can be so rude and interrupt, as you look through the hatch on the left port side, you see a little compartment kind of thing. That was the captain's area. He didn't have a room, a compartment, a cabin. He just had his own bunk.
No kidding.
That's where the captain. And the bunk was only 5'6" long. Hess was 6 foot tall. And there was one guy, Fromsdorf, in another boat. He was 6'9". And he had to sleep in a 5'6" bunk. And on the opposite side, on the starboard side, you see that glass glass was put in just to show it. Normally it was a solid door. That's the radio room, and the other one by it is the sound room. So the captain was never far from what was going
on.
The
nerves of the ship.
Yep, that's it. And we're standing inside, I believe we're in the centrale, the central control room.
Periscope?
Yeah, the sky scope was in there. Uh-huh. The attack scope was up in the conning tower.
Wow. Most of the time when the boats were out, they were on the surface, correct?
Right.
And they would dive essentially to mount attacks or to try to escape if they were being hunted.
They were called diving torpedo boats in the old days when they first came out. That's why submarines are referred to as boats, diving submarine boats, mm-hmm. or diving torpedo boats.
Mm-hmm.
Back pre-World War One.
What a nice thing that they saved one.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, it took an act of God practically to get that one saved.
Well,
there's two Type 9s, the long-range boats. One is U-505 in Chicago,
uh-huh.
which was captured on 4th of June, 1944.
Yeah.
And it was the only one for the longest time. And then they raised U-534 out of the Kattegat. It was not a war grave because everybody got off of it. And they raised it. And then it, all sorts of problems. You know, once you get a 252-foot-long boat that weighs somewhere around 1,000 tons, you can't put it on a trailer and stick it in your garage like a motorboat. And they darn near lost the thing to the scrap heap due to bad handling.
Where is it now?
It was bought out by the Merseyside Travel. You remember Jerry and the Pacemaker singing Ferry Across the Mersey? Well, this is the Merseyside Travel. They bought it. They cut it into five sections and put it by the ferry terminal not far from Liverpool so people can see it.
It's still in five pieces?
Yeah, they left it in five pieces. I guess they put plexiglass over the cutout holes. I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The guy who was president of the Merseyside Travel was a member of Shark Hunters, but then he retired and his replacement did not maintain the membership.
All right, very good. Who are you with in this picture, Charlie?
I don't know who's that down there.
I don't know. I've been looking down that hallway trying to figure out who those people were.
Spies, that's
who it standing is. Outside.
Yeah, I think he's in the next picture. I think it's the. I think.
Oh, Irwin.
One of the guys.
Yeah, outside the ship.
Yeah. I think it's that guy and his daughter.
That's Irwin.
Isn't this the guy from Canada?
You're right. He lives in Canada. He's a U-boat crewman. He was a crewman on the U-boats. He's still doing well. He was with us a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, he came with his son, who retired from the Canadian Post Office.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Incidentally, if you look up on the conning tower, if I can be rude and interrupt again. Yeah. You see the blue guy chasing the red guy with a hat in his hand?
Yep.
That was their tower emblem. Hess said they could choose any emblem they wanted as long as it was not ancient heraldic and as long as it was not Nazi, anything they wanted. So they picked this, and it's called Fang den Hut, which means catch the hat. And so it's a game played by German children where one guy chases another and steals his hat or puts a hat on him or... Mm-hmm. Whatever, but that's it. Fang den Hut.
Very interesting. I saw it up there. I didn't know it was somebody with a hat. Now I see it. Very good. And that's the anti-aircraft.
Yeah, the twin 20s.
Yeah,
twin 20s. That's on the Winter Garden, and on the second Winter Garden, that appears to be a 37 millimeter. They call it 3.7 centimeter, mm-hmm. or the doubles up there, they call them 2.0. centimeter, that's really 20 millimeters to us.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice there's no deck gun.
Mm-hmm.
After about middle of May 1943, they took the deck guns off the ones that had them, and the new boats coming out didn't get deck guns because the anti-submarine activity by the Allies had gotten so good they couldn't remain on the surface long enough to shoot anybody.
Wow. All right, next picture. Circular tower, four stories tall.
Yeah, this is Vettelsburg, where the SS had their headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the North Tower.
Yeah. It's an interesting place. They had all the esoteric stuff going on here.
Mm-hmm.
The SS, especially Himmler, was into a lot of esoteric stuff.
Yes.
And which
some would call it almost paranormal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, they were into all that stuff. They sent expeditions to the Antarctica and to the Himalayas and all kinds of very interesting stuff. But I tell you a funny story about going, anyway, there's this hysteria over there about anything that has to do with the NSDAP. So you can go through this castle and you can see all the stuff, but they've got all these signs like no taking pictures and all this other stuff. So we were in there and I was secretly taking pictures of my iPhone, and all of a sudden, this voice comes over a loudspeaker saying, "No pictures, no pictures."
It's like the voice of God.
I raised my hand up to kind of like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I realized that I was accidentally giving the Roman salute. And obviously the guys in the guard tower and were watching me, and I thought, oh, no, they're going to come in and arrest me.
That's funny.
So anyway, that's how Kafkaesque gets over there in Germany.
Uh-huh.
You can be arrested for, like, pointing at something with your right hand.
Well, you can get arrested now awfully easy over there, I'm told.
Yeah.
All right, so we got another U-boat. What's this one?
And Harry can correct me, but the Germans made these. This is like their last kind of super U-boat they were making at the end of the war.
Type 21.
Yeah, and so they had four of them when the war ended. So the Germans hid them, and then waited a few years, and then they miraculously reappeared.
Actually, they scuttled them all, and the Allies found them all. Except this one, and raised them and broke them up for scrap. And then in the mid-50s, when Germany was allowed to have submarines again, they brought this one up. Oh, look, we found a submarine. They cleaned it up, and the diesels lit right off. It's U-2540. Incidentally, you'll notice the sign down there says it's a technical museum.
Yep.
They cannot call these, and the same thing with U-995. It's a technical museum. They cannot call these things war memorials because that's illegal. So they call them technical museum.
Look at that boat. So this was scuttled and underwater for 4 years, and they brought it back up.
More than 4 years. It was from 1945 till about 55 or 56.
And it was it served in the Navy.
The Buddhist Marina. Yeah.
And it was
They had to make major modifications. They shortened it up,
uh-huh.
And they removed the big MAN diesels and put in smaller Mercedes diesels because the world gets nervous if Germany has long-range submarines. But the Allies tripped over each other to get, because there were hundreds of these things already built, ready to go into action, and some of them partly done in Danzig and places like that. The Russians, the Soviets, and the Americans, they were all grabbing as much as they could. We brought two of them back to the U.S., U-2513.
This particular type boat.
Yes, U-2513, which was Eric Topp's boat, and U-3008, which was going to be the Hangar Queen. They were going to seize parts off it to keep 2513 operating, which they did until 1957, training anti-submarine stuff. The British got a bunch of them, and the Russians copied them and made their whiskey class. The French got them and copied them and made the Daphne class. The Brits did.
Wow.
I don't know what class it was. And then we built the Harder, Darter, Trigger, and Trout, the later on ones, based on this. And the hull design was just unique. And the anti-aircraft guns you see are in those streamlined turrets, and they were hydraulically operated. They were supposed to have 30 millimeters, but they couldn't get the guns ready in time, so they put the existing 20 millimeters on them.
Phenomenal.
That's a magnificent piece of equipment.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Great picture, Charlie. Okay, let's go. Getting close on time here. We got an empty indoor swimming pool.
This is the Olympic swimming pool that for the
36
Olympics.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was really fascinating. We went out to the, they said we're going out to see the grounds of the 36 Olympics. And it was early in the morning and I fell asleep in the car and was kind of half asleep. And the van pulls up and I wake up and I look up and, I thought it was just going to be a ruin. And they completely restored the stadium.
And if I can be rude and interrupt that. That was a different part of the trip, Charlie. This is the Kaiser School. Remember the Kaisers, the whole huge big thing that the Kaiser built for his cavalry guys?
Yeah.
And then it became the 5th Panzer Division headquarters. Right. And the sad thing, it's falling apart, and nobody's got the money to repair it. The Olympics.
I thought this is the Olympic swimming pool at the Olympic ground.
Right, and this is the place where they lost Cooper. I went off on my own, and the poor guide was going berserk and blowing a whistle and everything, trying to find me. And I was in that upstairs thing, couldn't find a way to get back down again. But it's going to be demolished eventually. Anyhow, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So that's concrete.
Okay. I doubt a superior authority.
All right. Next picture is which? Where are we?
You have to lay on your side to get this one.
I couldn't get it to rotate. So, it's a bomb shelter. It's a really weird bomb shelter. The idea, I guess, is the bomb's just, it's like pointed. So if a bomb hit it, it would just ricochet off into the into the woods.
They could put about 300 people in each one of these. And there's several of them around there.
This wasn't the big round ones with the 88s on them. This is a different kind.
No, those are flak towers. Those are massive, huge.
Right.
This was just a bomb shelter, and it's right on the same property as the headquarters of the high command, the Oberkommando der Wehrmacht, the military high command.
Right.
And they're hardened buildings have all been blown up. We go there also, and we go into their underground, which is like 90 meters underground, which is, 300 feet underground?
Wow.
Go ahead, Charlie. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. You're doing a better job than me.
All right. Let's go ahead. We want to get through these. We got a bunch of pictures from Harry. We got a plaque here, 1939-1945.
This is down at Ulrichsburg, isn't it, Charlie?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the plaque, there are all these plaques. And, I put a little title to all of these. And this one, pretty well puts the lie to a lot of the history. Because this is for the 4,000 Danish soldiers that died fighting for the Germans.
I see.
Yeah,
right. The Danish volunteers.
Yeah. I mean, and actually, there were the SS had volunteers from every country in Europe and a lot of countries around the world. So it's really an international.
It's another unknown part of history. People never talk about that.
Yeah, you don't hear anything about the fact that all the people that fought for the Germans.
Not to mention the number of Jews of German citizenship who fought in the German military to protect their country. I think there were 200,000 of them altogether. It was a lot.
One of them was a good friend of mine, Helmut Schmuckel. He was Jewish, and he was submarine commander. He commanded U-802. This idea that the Jews were ousted from everything, no, they had tons of them. German Jews who were fighting in the German military. And the guy who rebuilt the Luftwaffe before Goering got into it was Erhard Milch, mm-hmm. who was 100% Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but anyhow, yeah, Zum Gedenken, that means we remember the 4,000 mm-hmm. Danish volunteers gefallen.
Okay. Yeah. So the next is the same thing, message, but different plaque.
Yeah,
for Flanders.
From Flanders.
Uh-huh.
The Flanders volunteers. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not even a country now. It's part of Belgium. But, and they've got plaques. I mean, correct me, Harry, but there are a million soldiers in the SS, and 500,000 of them were not Germans. They were actually from other countries.
Right. It's a lot like the Romans did. They would recruit soldiers from other countries. Uh-huh. And you'll notice the emblem at the top. That's kind of a stylized flame, and they have their big flag, yellow, gold flag with the black lion on it, and that's the flame from Flanders, and they come to the Ulrichsburg for this memorial ceremony, and we should see them when we're down there this time.
Wow.
Yeah, back to you, Charlie.
Yeah. I mean, Ulrichsburg is incredible. Anybody that can make it to it really needs to go, because these guys are, you know, like the ones that are left are easily in their 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not going to be around very much.
No, to be able to shake the hands of history is remarkable.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. So much has happened.
We had a Russian guy with us this last year. And his father, he was like 46 years old, Evgeny, he wanted his whole life, he was a Russian now, he wanted his whole life to meet a Waffen-SS soldier. So he came on this tour, and he loved everything about it, but the high point, he met a veteran of the 6th SS.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just in hog heaven. He signed up, him and his father, for this patrol again for this year.
Well, there's some wonderful people going on it. Charlie, a final comment from you, real quick. We really enjoyed, thank you, wonderful presentation, as all three of our special guests tonight have given us.
Yeah.
What do you have to say here?
I mean, just the same thing. I'm telling you, this is history that isn't going to be around much longer, and if anybody's interested in it, they need to go over there now. And, I gave up a lot of other things that I was planning on doing to start going to Europe every year to go to see these things. And I'm dang glad I did it, because all this stuff won't be around much longer.
Very well said. Thank you, Charlie. It's nice to meet you. And the tour is coming up in September, and I hope all of you give it a real serious bit of consideration. Thank you, Charlie. Maybe we'll talk to you again.
Okay, take care. Thanks.
All right, thanks much.
See you, Charlie.
Okay, bye.
What extraordinary people you get to spend time with.
Yeah, these are great people. I've just been blessed. We've had all sorts of really wonderful people on our tours. And, God bless them. Let them keep on showing up with good people.
Absolutely. Okay, if you all go back to guests now and on the homepage and look up Harry, you can find his pictures. We've got some that we want to take a look at now. In fact, I think there's two links under
two groups. We want Southern Patrol first.
Okay, let's go to Southern Patrol. I'll load those up, and there we go. Okay, Bill Napier took the first picture of Harry with you better not walk near any magnets with all those metals on, huh?
No, it's gold. Most of them are gold.
I see.
The cross is silver, but it's been replaced now. I've been promoted. That's the Ulrichsburg gold cross. This is at, remember I told you there's a little Oktoberfest in Krumpendorf for the benefit of the volunteer fire department, and that's where this was taken.
Right.
And I look like I've just been eating a lemon.
No, I'm just comfortable. You look comfortable.
Yeah. All right. The next picture, number two, that's the flag of the Flame of Flanders. All those people there, they were veterans of the Flanders SS division. This was a couple of years ago.
Wow.
most of them aren't there anymore.
Well, it's nice to see that they got to spend time together.
Yeah.
You know,
and
rather than living alone somewhere.
A couple of the wives, nice little old ladies. This was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I came out of the main room into the outer hallway, and mm-hmm. that's where my hat was, my Coast Guard auxiliary hat. And these little old ladies were trying it on, and they were giggling at each other. They had my hat. And then they gave me two little stand-up desk-sized flags of their Flanders Lion.
Very nice.
These are such nice people over there. Who was it? Larry, I think, said, you just start talking to them, and even if they don't speak English very well and you don't speak German very well, the Germans have a saying, mit Hand und Fuß wir verstanden, with hands and feet we'll understand. So, you know, nobody is mean. We were enemies during the war. The Germans never called the Americans enemies. They called them the opponents. The enemy was the Soviets.
Well, the truth of the matter is, and I wasn't there, but everything I know about it, and Harry has confirmed this, the dignity with which most all of the German military conducted itself was unmatched.
Oh, yeah. They had a very strong code of honor. And that, the 20-something important points of a German officer's character are mm-hmm. at the front of just about every book I've written. And my 22nd book is going off to the publisher next week.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, sharkhunters.com. Go to stores. You'll see all them books. Incidentally, yeah. Hi to all the people who are checking in with us now. We're getting a few emails coming in.
Very good. Then, great people. Great crew. It's, like I say, it's unlike any other historical research brotherhood.
The people are super. Food is awesome. The scenery is incredible. Let's see. Number three and number four. This is also a fellowship evening. This is a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the singers, you see the singers up there. Austrian a cappella music is unique. You have to hear it to understand it. The fellow in the blue with the glasses at the far left, I can't remember his name. He's from Romania. He's from Romania. He owns a gas station. He's a member of Shark Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his daughter in the green with mm-hmm. her husband in the brown. But everybody in my group was trying to get close to her. She was a really sharp-looking lady. And let's see, the guy whose back is to us with the brown leather jacket, that's Ralph Freuner. Dr. Ralph, his PhD in something. I don't know what he's a member.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all over the place.
Yeah. Okay, number five, picture number five.
We'll be seeing this on both the Southern Patrol and the Bunker Patrol. This is one of the bunker entrances at Berchtesgaden. This is Bormann's bunker entrance, escape entry, whatever you want to call it.
Which led to his house, which is demolished, gone.
It's gone, yeah. God forbid they should leave anything like that around. They should have put up a turnstile.
You know, if they had any wisdom at all and preserved this history, which they blew up and destroyed, they're fools. They were the idiot, stupid fool. And this is not
nice now. I got to go over there. I don't want to wind up in Mannheim prison.
No, I'm talking. You're not.
Oh, okay.
All right, next picture.
Next picture.
Eagle's Nest.
Eagle's Nest, which is what we called it. The Germans built it. They call it Kelstein House, which means the house on Kelstein Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That was built under control of Martin Bormann for Adolf Hitler's 50th birthday, which was 1939, which was my birthday zero. That's when I was born in 39. And after the U.S. Occupation Army moved out, 1990-something, I think it was, and turned everything over to the Bavarian government. Boy, they tore down everything they could, except not the Eagle's Nest. They decided it was not Nazi because they were making so damn much money. We go there, and the elevator, you've seen pictures of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same elevator that Hitler and all the rest of them rode up and down in. and it holds, if you squeeze them in, 20 or 30 people, and it costs you like $25 or $30 equivalent U.S. money each person. So you figure 20 people times 30 bucks every minute. That elevator goes up and comes down, and 1 minute later goes up and comes down with 20 people that are going to spend 30 bucks just to, for the admission. Then you have your lunch up there, yeah. You buy souvenirs up there. They're making a fortune in that
How
place.
Tall so, an elevator shaft is it approximately?
I think it's 400 meters. I'd have to check. It's
That's
incredible.
1,200 feet.
Yeah. And you're way up on this mountain anyhow. You got to go up on a specially geared bus. I think driven by disciples of Mario Andretti, which is not a compliment.
That's four,
Mario.
Harry, that's four. I didn't miss that. Okay. That's 400. That's 3 cents. That's 4 football fields high.
Pretty much.
The elevator.
Yep.
Now, understand what you're seeing. Understand that when this was built by under the supervision of Bormann in 1937-38 for Hitler's birthday in 39, they sunk an elevator shaft from that building 4 football fields long straight down to the bottom.
Down to the parking lot.
And that's where you enter it and go up 4 football fields to get to that eagle's nest. That's astounding.
Yeah, I think the eagle's nest is about, I think, don't hold me to it, but I think it's about 6,000 or 7,000 feet in the air. It's incredible.
Just stunning.
If you know where to look on a clear day, you can actually see the castle in Salzburg from up there.
The Sound of Music castle?
Well,
no.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you won't see on this spread of pictures, but we also go to that little town where the big cathedral is.
Uh-huh.
Where they had the wedding for the movie.
Yeah.
And that's on the Munsee, which means Moon Lake.
Uh-huh.
And we're going there on this tour. That was a set-aside area for the Waffen-SS, for R&R, for hospitalization, et cetera.
Right.
And it was very secret, cut off from the rest of the place. And we'll be going there. We're going to other bunkers and tunnels, too. All that's on the website, too. But
okay. What's going on, for those of you listening, is that there's a 2-week tour of the Southern Patrol, and then there's another patrol that begins right after the first one. That's the bunker patrol.
Yep.
So you could technically go on both of them if you really wanted to and spend a month.
Yep. I'm
going
to be there.
Wow. Number seven.
This is the memorial. You walk up even higher. As a matter of fact, photo number 6 was shot from...
Where the memorial is?
From the memorial, right. Mm-hmm. And it's a memorial. You'll see the Edelweiss. And that's our guy, Jess Bond, standing there. And we go up there, and it remembers everyone who fell in the war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It boggles my mind. You wouldn't think today that it would be so hard to do. I mean, we got this technology, but this was done in the 30s.
Yeah.
An elevator shaft like that, and it's a beautiful elevator. What a birthday gift.
Yeah, it's good to meet a king, I guess.
Oh,
and it was
man.
Not done with slave labor. You don't have slaves.
No, it is a contracted job.
Uneducated farmers using dynamite to make holes in a mountain.
Just amazing. Okay, number 8. Let's see if we can get through both these groups.
Number 8, and all the rest of the way, that's at the Ulrichsburg Memorial, where they remember everyone who
yes.
fell in battle. No matter what uniform, no matter what flag.
Look at some of the veterans there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's an old ruined church. Number 9 is inside the church. Number 10, number 11, that's just us in with all the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And number 12, I met a friend.
Yeah.
My wife already hung up and went to bed.
I'm not telling her.
This woman was weird. She hated Americans, but we got along fine.
She probably had
She hate Americans?
Too many
well,
memories, huh? Yeah.
I don't know. She
All
wasn't
right.
around during the war years.
Well, she had parents that were.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yep. We'll take a look at the next group. the Bunker Patrol photos under Harry's name. All right, let's load them up.
And these are places we're going to be again on this Southern Patrol.
Oh, you're going to these on the Southern Patrol? These are the Bunker Patrol after the Southern Patrol.
Correct.
Okay.
Hey, it's late. I'm an old man. What can I say?
You're doing great. All right. Picture number one, sir.
Number one. This is about 130 feet underground. This is up into a machine gun post in a tunnel system that we'll be in.
Huh.
There are several of these machine gun posts. And you think if you can get around behind them, you can get the guy inside. No, there's nothing behind it. These guys come up from another level of tunnels up into the next level. So it was never in combat, but it was well designed.
Hmm.
Photo two, basically it says behind this bricked up door, see the government bricked up right at the property line, so you can't go the rest of the way. But it says behind this door, you'll find the elegant rooms of Hitler, Eva Braun, Dr. Morell's, et cetera, because it went right underneath Hitler's house.
This is underneath the Berghof?
This is, well, it goes under the Berghof, but you can't get there. They won't let you there. This is under the Hotel Zum Türken, which is where his guard used to stay.
So those tunnels are still there, but they're blocked off, and they're probably in pristine condition. All right.
Right. I've been in them. One time they were in there for maintenance, and they left the door open, so I went in.
Doggone
and,
you.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Yell at me in German? I tell them, I don't know. I don't understand German. Number three, that's a gas lock, so that if they were trapped in a tunnel, nobody could gas them, because they had a way to keep two atmospheres of pressure in there. Number four is a two-man bomb shelter. Guys would be on patrol watch, and if the airplanes came over, they'd duck into the bomb shelter, and the door is tapered in such a way that any blast would just make sure the door stayed shut.
How interesting.
Yeah,
and they put these things all around.
Yeah,
people had
over
to
the
hillside where the Berghof was.
Exactly.
So the guards were safe.
That's on the Obersalzberg. And there's these things all over the place. Number five, this is at a place where we stop for dinner. And you look down and there's the town of Berchtesgaden about a mile down below you.
Postcards. Can't take a bad picture. You're right. You're so right.
For sure. Just incredible. Number six, entrance to another bunker that we'll see.
There must be tens of thousands of bunkers all over Germany.
There's a whole bunch of them, and we're trying to find as many as we can. And that's our guide, Jeff. So we spend a lot of time researching, and he finds it on paper, and then he goes there in person and finds it. Hmm. And he's just a little guy. He's only about 5'7", maybe, weighs about 120 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't start walking with this guy. He can walk the legs off a pool table.
Wow.
I was with him one time. We were walking 4 and 5 miles through the mountains, and I'm dragging. And then he says, well, what do you say we stop for lunch? Says, yeah, good idea. He says, I know there's a nice place. It's just over this mountain, another 3 miles. I says, no, I'm getting the car. Jeff, he'll walk. He just walks everywhere. Tough guy and very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be our guide for this tour.
This is the bunker tour after the Southern Patrol. Okay.
Right.
All right. Number seven is a beautiful
number
building.
Number seven is it's an Alpenhof, an Alpine house. We'll be having dinner there one night, and it is a very interesting place. Number eight shows you some of what you find carved into the overhead beams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's old stuff.
Oh, boy, it's beautiful stuff. They built it to last, too.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, that's the grave of Paula Hitler. But to make it to where snoopers or whatever can't find it, they put somebody else's name over it. I remember seeing it when Paula Hitler's name was there. they screwed this other plaque on top of it.
Huh.
And that's by Bertha Scott, and we'll be there.
Uh-huh. When did she die?
I don't know.
After the war,
I believe. Yeah, I believe it was after the war. She was Hitler's sister.
Uh-huh.
And she was the matron in charge at the Berghof where Hitler lived until Hitler got going with Eva Braun. Then Eva Braun and Paula Hitler competed for who was going to be in charge.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. There's the Hotel Turken.
Zum Turken. How do we get number 18 there? Geez, I'm all goofied up here.
Nine or 18, so you're fine.
Oh, okay. We
saw
the tunnels, the bunkers, a couple of photos. They're right down underneath this place.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go to 11.
Like just a warren of tunnels and underground complexes there.
Yeah, and the tunnels under here, this used to be the switchboard for all the buildings on the mountain during the war years, and also Hitler's personal guard stayed here. But the tunnel went from there to under Hitler's house. It went under Goring's house. It went under Bormann's house. Various other places it went. But Bormann was absolutely adamant. His tunnel could not intersect with Goring's tunnel because they didn't like each other.
All right.
What can I say?
You said it all. Next picture.
Yeah. Number 11. That's the ruins of... there's a whole compound that we'll be visiting.
That's a big story, that what's left of that building. I forget.
Yeah.
You told
it once. They have the remains of the ammunition bunker where they stored anti-aircraft shells, then another building where they stored the fuses, because it's not good to store the fuses by the same place with the ammo. And those remains are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be there. Number 12, that's a road that was built by the Reich, and it's still in great shape. But now the government over there is tearing up all the Reich-built roads because they're saying the asphalt had poison in it or something.
Oh, my God.
It's lasted for 70-odd years, but it's bad. Here's a hotel. We'll be seeing this on the bunker patrol. It's abandoned and being torn down. It's the Geiger Hotel in Berchtesgaden.
Mm-hmm.
It was regional headquarters for the Luftwaffe. But after the war, Elvis Presley stayed there. John F. Kennedy stayed there. But for whatever reason, either the owner went broke or he was convinced to allow it to fall apart. It's being torn down now. And the next couple pictures just show you what these are, paintings on the various doors in the rooms inside this hotel.
The building should be declared a National Historic Monument, of course.
Well, right now, I think it's pretty well tore down, or it's going to be. I think so, too, but, you know.
Yeah,
I understand. But look at, it shows what it was like in the old days, number 14, 15, mm-hmm. and 16. Beautiful. And those things, those doors, I'm sure, have all been just thrown into the trash pile. I would have loved to have gotten a couple of them doors, but how do you get them home on the airplane?
Well, you ship them home FedEx Ground or whatever.
I suppose.
You can get one. If you go there and you can get one, get the door, send it back. Let me know.
Okay. I'll get it.
I'll help you pay for it.
Okay.
No, I'd like one, too. Look at that.
Well.
Beautiful.
See what we can do. No promises.
All right.
Number 18. Surprise, surprise. There was more than one chancellery. The big chancellery was in Berlin.
Yeah.
But down here was another chancellery. And this is it. We don't go in it because it's been converted into apartments now. I was in it some years ago. And the hand-carved wooden chandelier with all the runic symbols, the 12 runic symbols that Goebbels had donated to this place. It was still hanging in the ceiling. All the little spice racks that was in the kitchen that was there during the war years, They were still there. The big table, the conference table, where they'd have meetings, was still there, and it still had the button underneath the head of the table where Hitler was sitting. And if he needed a secretary to come in for something, or if he needed a refill on his tea or whatever, he just pushed a button, somebody'd come in.
And that where is this there. Located? Where is this?
This is in Berchtesgaden.
It's still all the same mountain. Okay.
They chiseled off the swastika.
They left the eagle up, but they took they took the swastika off, but they left the eagle up.
The guy who owns the building, unless it's been sold, we met the guy. He owns that big building, and there's a couple of houses right there. Yodel lived in one of the houses, but he hated the Americans. Because, you know, the Americans won the war. He hated the Americans. We had to tell him we were Canadians, and he let us in. I got a ton of photos inside back when it was still like the Reich was used. Now, like I say, now it's a condominium.
Those are all condos.
Yeah, or apartments, one or the other.
So the area is still considered to be a beautiful destination, it sounds like, for people to go.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. You can't, like I say, you can't take a bad photo.
Well, I know the geography is beautiful, but I mean the actual place itself is a destination for tourists.
You bet. I'm hearing a hard break coming up.
You're hearing the end of the program coming up.
Yeah. Well, that's Dr. Lammer's office there, and right down that hill behind it, there's the entrance to another bunker, and we'll be there too.
Wow. All right. All of you listening, thank you for being here, and I hope you've enjoyed this. We enjoyed sharing it with you. If you want to go on one or even both of these tours, you can. Tell them how.
We have room right now.
Tell them how.
Just send an email to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. Say you heard the program and you'd like a free copy of the magazine. We'll send it out, no charge, no strings attached, and we'll send you information on the two patrols.
Wow. Well, my friend, that was a great program. Three wonderful special guests and their photos. And
the program went by in a hurry. It just seems like we just started.
Yeah. Well, you go take a look at the inside of your eyelids now and rest.
You betcha. Fast, hot shower, and bang, out cold.
Great show, Harry. Thank you. You take care.
My pleasure, Jeff. You have a great day.
Okay. Talk soon. Right.
Bye-bye.
Admiral Cooper. There you go. SharkHunters@SharkHunters.com. Take advantage of this last opportunity to go explore history. And if you're thinking about it, it means you probably ought to do it. Okay? If you've got the time and you can finance it, do it. Thanks for being here another week. Have a great weekend, and we will be back with you Monday.